All right.
In honor of our former co-host, we no longer mention his name, Paul Danner Jr., sorry. Welcome, this is Jason Williams. I'm here with our new co-host. It's a new era, and that's So Cincinnati.
So Cincinnati. Whoa,
he's busting it out early today, folks. Welcome into the booth, our good friend, and we hope yours, Sherry Coolidge. Sherry?
I am so glad to be chosen as the new Kathy Lee for the Hoda and Kathy Lee Show. It's super exciting. I feel like this is where my career has been going. I brought wine. This is awesome.
Well, you've come to the wrong place because this is So Cincinnati.
So Cincinnati.
Okay, but this is actually where I really want to be.
And you brought wine, so I'm the wrong guy to bring wine to. I hate wine. I absolutely hate it. That's another show, maybe. We can discuss our likes of wine and beer, maybe.
Definitely. I actually know that about you. And I feel like this is going to be a really good partnership.
It's going to be great.
We're taking the conversations that happen at our desk every day. I mean, not all of them, but most of them, and bringing them to the world.
Sherry, I know you very well. You're not only a great teammate, but you're a great friend of mine. As she mentioned, we sit in the same little pod, and there's all kinds of fun and lots of talks about stories and politics. Sherry's our city hall reporter, longtime city hall reporter here at the Cincinnati Inquirer, cincinnati.com. But, you know, as you coming in as our new co-host of the show, tell our audience a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from and what you like to do and what your favorite color is. No, I'm just kidding.
So I feel like I should explain my name. My byline is my actual name, which is Sharon Coolidge. I married Alex Coolidge, who's a business reporter. I found him at my last newspaper, and I'm like, please move back to Ohio with me. And he said yes.
So you guys are related.
We are.
I see the bylines all the time in the paper and on Cincinnati.com. No, I'm just kidding.
And so that's definitely my byline. But my entire life, so my parents named me after, you know, Rose of Sharon, and they loved that name. But they also loved their best friend, Sherry, who's my godmother. And they decided to just call me Sherry unless I was in trouble. And so I think, honestly, you're just going to call me Sherry. No one really calls me Sharon unless, or sometimes that's how I know who's really calling. It's like, is Sharon Coolidge there? I'm like, hello. They ask who's calling. They did not say Sherry. So I feel like that's kind of...
She's not here right now. May I take a message?
Exactly. Like I'm the secretary. But that's why you're calling me Sherry, because everyone does.
Yeah.
I'm from Ohio. I'm from Ohio, Youngstown. I'm a Youngstown girl. I wear that badge proudly.
As you should.
Old Steel Town, Lordstown, all of these Lordstown stories have been very important to me. Growing up, all my friends' parents worked there. This was very important to my hometown, and it closing was devastating to me because I know what it's going to do to that community. And it's hard even. I go home to visit my parents. I'm a good Italian daughter. Turco's my maiden name. For those who see me on Facebook and even on the politics page, you can see that. And my hometown is changing even now, and it's hard to watch.
And your dad's a retired teacher back home too, right?
Both of my parents, inner city teachers, gave us good work ethic. Never missed a day. That's not how the Turcos rolled, and that's how I am now. Like you were sick, you went to school. Yep. You were sick, you went to work. And I never miss a day, as you know.
That's funny you should say that, because as Mother's Day, it's probably part of the reason why you and I get along so well is that we came from that kind of same environment. I'm from the same exact type of environment, is that you went to work. My dad was a foreman in a power plant. Mom is a now retired English teacher, high school, taught in the vocational school, which, you know, it was a pretty rugged school. A lot of tough, hardcore Appalachian kids. And but you never missed a day. And I always remember my dad getting up at five in the morning. He would get to work an hour early, and you don't call in sick. And I feel like that's one of the things I admire about you is that you bring that work ethic and that energy to this newsroom every day. And if I could tell the audience something about you, that's one of the many things that I would say that no one is going to outwork you, and it shows in your work, and it shows in your sourcing. And I think that it's going to be fun to bring you here onto the show to, you know, mix in you have a fun personality and this work ethic. So you're going to bring in your knowledge of politics and your sourcing, and you're always out doing a lot of fun things around Cincinnati. So sharing some of those things as well is just, this is going to be a, I think we're going to have a fun time.
I agree. And I miss the hats off lunch. And I think pretty much everyone's never going to hear the end of it because the planning commission went forever on Friday.
Well, you know my take on those kind of events. I don't think you miss anything.
That you want to borrow my hat? Is that it?
No, it's not. Anyway.
Oh, Jason has more shoes than me. Is that a secret for another day?
I think it is.
And that's honestly saying something.
I noticed the collection under my desk is starting to build up again. I'd cleaned it out, and now there's about 4 pairs of shoes that have collected under there in the past month. And I looked under yours the other day, and there's only like one. I'm like, oh my.
I know, because I redid my whole closet over the weekend. So I took everything home and reorganized everything.
Anyway, let's looking forward to you being here and excited about you being here, Sherry. Let's jump to some of the business of the week, and that is city council dealing or addressing marijuana decriminalization. Can you talk about that and what, so they came to, was it Law and Public Safety yesterday?
Did, yeah.
And what's behind that? What is it about? And what are some of the politics behind it?
So this effort is led by Christopher Smitherman and Jeff Pastor, which is interesting politically. Let's talk about what's happening and then the politics of it.
Yeah.
So Christopher Smitherman brought this up in passing, and Jeff Pastor had been thinking about it at the same time. And so they got together and they're introducing an idea to decriminalize marijuana, which is basically making it a zero fine, zero jail for basically a half pound or less of marijuana. And 11 municipalities, including Toledo and Dayton, have done this. And that's the idea. And it's basically, it talks about the idea of not wanting to bust the person with one joint and, you know, basically give them a criminal record so they can't get housing and they can't find a job. So this is really about setting people up for a path and not saying, you know, smoking a little bit of marijuana is not the worst crime in the history of the world. And it's really the world, way the world is moving.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're having this conversation, and I really do feel like we're headed towards majority support. But the police chief came in yesterday, and, you know, he was a straight talker. If you look at, there's an email exchange between Christopher Smitherman and the chief, and it's pretty perfunctory, which is the chief is like, if you all pass this, we'll enforce it. Because it really is up to the police department. This is going to be an alternative law to Ohio law, which does allow for a $250 fine and a small amount of jail time. And this would be an alternative way of handling things. And the chief said, we will follow your city law.
Mm-hmm.
But I have concerns.
Hmm.
And, you know, and he said, you know, violence, half a pound is not nothing to be trifled with.
Yeah.
And he's like, with marijuana comes, you know, violence. And he has concerns about this. He's a 30-year law enforcement officer. And his big takeaway was, so we're talking about decriminalizing this amount of marijuana. And he said, this is the way the world's going. Police chiefs all over this country, and he sees them at conferences and everything, are thinking about this and dealing with this. And he said, Cincinnati City Council is going to have to look at the idea, does this city want to legalize marijuana or not?
Hmm.
And he really, that, I mean, this is just basically the first step. And so he crystallized it like that.
So what he's saying is that if you guys do this, then the next council may come in, or even you guys may come back in a month or a year and try to push farther and legalize marijuana. Was that one of your takeaways from this?
Definitely. And then he's looking to them to make the decisions, but he wants them to be thoughtful.
I think I'm glad Chief Elliot Isaac did that. I think these are things that city council needs to really think hard and long about and explore. I also find the politics of this very interesting. As you mentioned, it's Jeff Pastor and Christopher Smitherman, vice mayor. Jeff Pastor is a Republican. Christopher Smitherman is a very right-leaning independent. As you look around the country, it is a it does seem like a very libertarian thing, but I think you look around the country and it's a lot of Democrats who are doing this. Is that it seems like a thing, something that a Democrat would push, but right now you have basically the conservatives, with the exception of Amy Murray, on council who are pushing this.
Absolutely. And, you know, they took it from like a business side. You know, Christopher's a financial advisor, Smitherman, and he talked about how Wall Street's really, you know, making a lot of money and benefiting on this. And he is like, I don't think that they should be benefiting on the backs of, you know, basically the black community is where these charges are coming up. And Jeff Pastor said the same thing. And he, you know, he's like, this is historically wrong. And he likened it to alcohol is in some cases much worse than smoking a joint, which they kept saying that's what they were targeting, this very little amount. You're just possessing it and smoking it for your own personal use. Where the chief's like, a half pound is something you might deal. Which is, that's where that comes in. And honestly, just like everything else in City Hall, this is about the mayor's race. It is.
It's funny. I was just getting ready to ask you that. Put your analysis hat on, and how does this play out in the 2021 mayor's race? To kind of catch our audience up to speed, the 2021 mayor's race as it is right now, you have Vice Mayor Christopher Smitherman, the independent, running again, who's already announced officially, right now will be running against, City Councilman PG Sittenfeld, who is not announced, but it's an open secret. And, he talks fairly openly about it, I think, or he doesn't push back when people mention it. And it is raising money, and, Christopher Smitherman is as well. So, how, put this in the context of the 2021 mayor's race. Will PG support this later today as we post our podcast? We're expecting a vote as we post our podcast Wednesday morning. We expect a vote from council on Wednesday afternoon. Is that correct?
Yes, and except for some reason that it might get tabled. Greg Lansman's out this week. I did talk to Christopher last night, and he said, we're definitely going having a vote on this. And you know what's going to be interesting? You know, when it comes to council floor, we will hear where the mayor stands on all of this. Mm. That's usually typically when he gets a chance to weigh in. He doesn't vote, but of course he leads the council meetings. And, you know, he's not shy about sharing his opinions typically.
No.
So
no, he's not.
I think that's going to be a big takeaway tomorrow, where he stands on this.
Put this in perspective of the 2021 mayor's race. Do you see this being an issue in that race? And if so, how is it going to be an issue?
I don't see it as like a controversial issue, especially because I have seen very, very little pushback on the idea of doing this from either, you know, political side. Like, everyone seems to think this is the way the world's headed and this is okay. I do think it's going to pass. But I think it's something that Christopher is going to use to, you know, really solidify that he's an I and not a Republican. I think he's going to use this as just demonstrating where he stands, you know, with the black community and not over prosecuting them. And remember, we're going to see a lot of the stuff what happened with the jail tax and not wanting to just incarcerate black men. And I think we'll see him really talking about that as a, you know, counter to the idea that the narrative that he's really a Republican, which he says that he is not. He's just conservative.
It seems like there's really not a political downside to it for him, and potentially a political upside. You know, I guess the downside being that what some of the concerns that Chief Isaac brought up, but you know, I think that's we'll have to wait and see on that. Let's shift gears. Last week was a crazy, crazy week in local politics and news and business. And one of the big stories of the week was that the Corporex, which owns the Ovation site at the confluence on the riverbank of the Ohio River and the Licking River, announced a brand new indoor-outdoor concert venue from being built by Promo West out of Columbus and AEG, based in Los Angeles, and these are two absolute powerhouses in the entertainment venue and concert recruiting industry. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring in Bill Donabedian, who is the co-founder of the Bunbury Music Festival, who sold Bunbury to Promo West in 2014, I believe. He has been
pronouncing his last name correctly is a very difficult task, so you're going to get an A+ on that.
Thank you. Let me say this. So it's a little bit of complex, but so Promo West, the city and the county and the banks, essentially at the end of the day, spurned Promo West. So they said, the heck with it. We're going to take we're going to go work with Northern Kentucky and Corporex. So they announced last week, and yet we're still planning, because the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, the bank's steering committee, went with them over Promo West. And so now at this point, as we sit here and speak, the plan is that we're going to build two new riverfront indoor-outdoor concert venues, one on the banks in Cincinnati and one on the banks in Newport. I wrote a column very critical of the fact that this is time for Cincinnati to pull back and say, no, it's not going to happen, because I think the Promo West venue is going to crush the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. There was a mistake made by the banks folks and the commissioners, and just, scrap it, move on, save a little face, and let's everybody celebrate the fact that Promo West, who knows what they're doing in this industry, is going to Newport. So we're going to bring Bill Donabedian in, who's not only created the Bunbury Festival, but several other music festivals, and plays in this sandbox and knows Promo West really well. And I want to get his take on it, because I know even in our paper with Scott Wortman, he had a quote last year saying that basically that Promo, that no one would go to he didn't say no one, but he said, I'm paraphrasing, but something along the lines of the symphony is going to struggle to get top acts. And he said, look at Riverbend, which the symphony also runs to get concerts. So let's bring in Bill. All right, welcome into the That's So Cincinnati guest portion of the show. We have Bunbury founder Bill Donabedian. You're always identified as the Bunbury founder, but you've got your hands in a lot of different projects, and past and present.
Yeah, welcome. I've been busy. So have you.
Yes, covering politics. Well, Bill, we wanted to bring you in. We thought it was good timing. You've got some exciting things coming up, and we'll get to that. Then you also, having your relationship with Promo West, having sold Bunbury to Promo West, what was that, in 2014?
Yeah, I sold a majority interest to them in at the end of 2014.
Yeah, and you have been behind the scenes involved in this concert venue. Is that
I've been a huge advocate.
Yeah.
And, Scott Steinecker from Promo West, he's up in Columbus, so he did not know the landscape here in Cincinnati. So I thought it was good for the festival and good for Promo West. Really good organization. I really like what they've done in Columbus and Pittsburgh. So I tried to introduce him to people around town, because I know he wanted to do a venue here.
So when last year, when the banks folks and the commissioners, Hamilton County commissioners, decided to go with the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, did you continue to talk with Promo West, and did you suggest Newport to them? Did you help them, say, hey, why don't you try Newport?
Well, actually, can I go back further?
Yeah.
I think it might help put context to this. Back in March of 2015, mm-hmm. I introduced Scott to Mayor Cranley and at the time, head of the park board, Willie Carden. Mm-hmm. And he was initially looking at a spot that would have been right next to the Montgomery Inn Boathouse.
And by the parks we were building.
Yes.
Yep.
And then Mayor Cranley was the one who said, this should be at the banks. And Scott spent years resubmitting plans, and trying to work, through all these entities and agencies. And really all that was happening at the time was it was giving Mimi time to put together their own plan and raise money so they could counter. Because there was no RFP process for this. There was nothing.
Mimi being Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra's partner in this.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And it's quite simple. They are worried that a venue here would impact Riverbend, which is their cash cow to underwrite the symphony. That's what this really comes down to. It's really not founded. It's not well founded because it's a different size venue. And if anything, when Promo West decided to bring like a venue like that into Pittsburgh or to Columbus, it actually increased concert business. Yep. We kind of have, and I don't mean to like insult the Cincinnati listening or the music crowd, but we are not introduced to a lot of bands through the normal stages.
Yeah.
You know, so what happens is bands come into small venues and they keep stepping up, they build a buzz, and then you can sell them out in large concerts. And we don't have those stepping stones. So a lot of people, like we were booking bands at Bunbury, like Imagine Dragons in 2012, played Bunbury.
Yep.
Who's that? I don't know any of these bands. I'm like, well, you know, or 21 Pilots or Fits in the Tantrums or Young the Giant. Well, anytime we brought these bands in, I'd be so excited. But the overwhelming, you know, talk was, no, who are these bands? You know, I'm like, why don't they know these bands? Well, it's because they don't have a venue. Like they have in Columbus where they can, you know, they start out a place like Motor and then go to the Woodward. And then they would go to this place and play on the inside. And then in the summer, they'd come back through and play to 5,000 people. And then you suddenly find them at Riverbank and US Bank Arena. Yeah. So I think it was short-sighted, you know, the resistance, because it really could have helped develop the business. But I digress. In 2017, in April of 2017, I realized that this deal was going south. And I introduced Promo West to Corporex at that point in time. And I said, Scott, they're going to build the Ovation. It's going to be right across the river. It's going to be huge. You know, Northern Kentucky is hungry.
Yep.
It's funny, from the outsider's perspective, his only concern is, well, will Cincinnatians go across the river? I'm like, yeah, they'll go across the river.
That was the big conversation about putting an MLS soccer stadium there. Yeah. And like, at least a public conversation. I think we know by now the team owners of Cincinnati. Yeah. Man, and they wanted it here. But that was like, that was a question. It's unbelievable. It's just a river and there's a lot of bridges.
Exactly. And there's a community, we're a region. We really are, you know, and I think healthy competition is good, because when Northern Kentucky gets a win, people over here suddenly say, hey, we can't, you know, be so passive. Let's get something going. I look at it like a good sibling rivalry.
Do you look at this now and think, I don't know if you have an opinion on this or not, but we're not going to be able to sustain two riverfront concert venues within essentially they're right across the river from each other. You play in the sand. This is your world. In this town, in this region, can we sustain both of those venues and put people in them regularly for events?
I think it will be challenging.
Yeah.
I think
to put it diplomatically.
Yeah. Usually, if everyone really stayed in their own lane, if they truly picked a different demographic and the type of programming they would do, that there was almost, you know, you knew, like, when this band's coming into town, they're definitely playing in Kentucky. When this band comes into town, they're going to be playing in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I think that it might work. It might. But I really think that, you know, I said this to Scott. I'm like, you can probably break ground and be open sooner. And everyone keeps forgetting he's just going to route everything he's buying from Pittsburgh to Columbus to Cincinnati. And do I see AEG and Promo West doing other venues that are similar further south in Louisville or Lexington or moving to Indy? Yeah, they're building a network to move these acts through. The acts that usually don't play Cincinnati anyway. And he's going to dominate. I mean, they're going to do 30 shows outside where Mimi had said they'd do 8.
Yeah.
Well, why are you going to build a venue with that view?
What's the point?
And have all that space that's not going to be used but 8 times a year.
Yeah.
So now we have the Bengal Stadium, which is only used 10 times a year. Another piece of property only used 8. That makes no sense at all. You need a venue. The thing that the banks had been lacking, And I know because I had been brought in several times to the developers to do what I did at Fountain Square at the banks, but they could never get it together, was entertainment program. What do you do when those stadiums are dark?
Yep.
And this was the perfect thing. And to think that it dropped in our lap, totally funded, back in 2015. It should have been open 2 years ago.
This is honestly what we've been talking about. There's a lot of talk in the city about incentives and what we're going to offer people to come and how much we should be offering. But this is totally funded. And this is like something that's like, no, the taxpayers don't have to pay for this.
No, it's not this. You said, you know, that we need to do these incentives. It's get out of the way.
Yep. It's so damn Cincinnati and it's frustrating.
It is. There are so many out-of-town businesses and people who've come into this town who've been told in no uncertain words that we don't want you here. And it happened, you know, you would have thought with things like the Hofbrauhaus, the aquarium, how many of these things have to continue to happen?
How many lessons that have to be learned?
Yeah.
Right.
And it was so short-sighted. You know, everyone thought they were so smart. You know, we'll put on this show and we'll make it look like there's this RFP when we all know who's going to get selected.
Yep.
Mimi gets it. And that was going to be it. And it's like, no, you didn't see that there was an end game here where you could lose in a big way. And oh, by the way, you've got a much bigger problem. Let's take all this attention and, you know, all these resources and let's focus on U.S. Bank Arena. You know, that
I
is
famously
the thing
called
that
shabby
we
in a story a few years ago. And I heard a lot about that, but
you're speaking the language, Bill. You're speaking the language.
Now, there's still going to be a gap. There needs to be a piece of the puzzle that keeps the banks programmed and active year round. It's lacking that. And, you know, it was a slam dunk to have, if they would have just back in 2015, they could have had given Scott his chunk of land and said, go to work. And now the way I really do think this is going to play out, if everyone can check their ego at the door, they will not build this venue, because if they do try to go head to head with Promo West and AEG, they're going to lose that war of attrition. And then we're going to have an empty building sitting at the banks.
I mean,
it's
going to
be more embarrassing than what it is right now, which is, you know, still a very unfinished project that's been held up by government issues and power struggle and
no vision.
And no vision, exactly. And it's synthetic, as I said, 1970s looking apartment, or they look like college, the apartment buildings look like 1970s college dorms. And I think Roxanne Qualls once said it was like a Motel 8 or something. You said this in a Scott Wortman piece for the Inquirer a year ago this month, to quote, just look at the same tired program that happens every summer at Riverbend. I know for a fact there are artists who will not play in the venue. And you're talking about the Banks venue.
I'm talking about
that
you,
time.
Well, yeah.
Do you still feel, very much that way?
Oh,
you know, a year later here?
Oh yeah. I mean, I know that they've just made some minor improvements to Riverbend, but it's not a well-maintained or run facility.
And it's out
and
there
part
too.
Of that is not their fault. It gets flooded, you know, it has some issues. It's poorly designed from its, like, if I had received that property as a facility manager, like Fountain Square, I would have been like, oh wow, you got some serious problems with this. Like, what you have to do to just use the bathroom is,
yeah.
And yeah, there's a bunch of other things that are just, it's a challenging facility.
Well, let's go, but you're an entrepreneur. You worked for 3CDC and you were the first ever Fountain Square director. So you, when we started seeing 3CDC or the Fountain Square after it was renovated in 06, 07, you were the first person to come in there and bring all these events there. You've seen a lot in this city and the renaissance of it. You brought Midpoint, you brought Bunbury, you've worked with the city and the local government, city, county government a lot. Has it always been challenging? I'm talking about from your standpoint. Were those projects also challenging? When you worked at Fountain Square and you did all that stuff, was it hard then too?
Yeah, it could be very challenging on a lot of different levels. But I think it's really important, because I'm sure some of my friends who work in the city, you know, there are some people who are awesome. Like, we have to kind of separate the politics from the people who are just trying to do their job, and the ones who, and there are some who have the right mentality, is I'm not here to get in the way, but I'm here to help facilitate and make something happen. And so I've had the pleasure of working with some great people in fire department and the police department and BNI and health and parks. So there are those people that I could always turn to and rely on. Scott Stiles, who is an assistant city manager, And I, gosh, now I wish
California.
I wish he would have been offered that job, because he was a great diplomat, and he knew how to get the right people at the table and get a project or get something done and out the door.
I have one more question on this. Then sure. I want to jump to some other fun things that you're working on now. And in the Sherry, you jump into as well. Do you think, laugh at me if you want to, do you think that Bunbury, is it a foregone conclusion that it'll go to Newport now? Or
actually, I don't think that's true.
Okay.
And this happens, I mean, Scott and I have had this conversation before. I mean, there is something about that park and that view, and this, it's been its home. And I think we're both, would like to keep it here. It's not easy. It's like, I know how the red carpet is rolled out for Danny Wimmer down in Louisville. And I know what he pays to use the park, which is almost nothing. And what we pay to use the park, which is, you know, we have some challenges. But I also think that Northern Kentucky, when I look across the river, and I've done some site searches before, mm-hmm. I haven't found that ideal location for something like a Bunbury. Because a lot of people might even look at a big piece of property and say, oh, this could happen here. It's like, nah, it's either a parking issue, getting water, getting electricity, you know, how comfortable are people with that part of town and getting there? And I mean, that's why, like, that event, Kentucky's Edge, which is coming, that bourbon event, the way that's set up, it's to really embrace Covington and Newport, where I feel like an event like Bunbury could kind of overrun it.
Yeah. Switching, Sherry, do you want to ask anything else about the Riverfront concert venues?
I do have a very important musical act question.
Okay. Hopefully I can answer it.
Blink 182 is coming to Riverbend. Are they really coming? People want to
know. What I want to say is, from my experience, I wouldn't buy a ticket, because they've flaked on us twice in this market. And I really question the integrity of their agency and their management to bail on us twice like that. Now, the first time, I kind of understand, you know, there's a personal reason there. And I can respect that, but to make that official announcement that they would be back and then decline it and then to go out on tour and do another show here, there's no other way to say it. It's just really uncool.
I mean, this is the third time.
So I know. I'm
ever hopeful.
It could become a self-fulfilling prophecy. I would say don't buy tickets, and then there won't be enough tickets sold, and then they won't come. And hopefully they never come back here. That's my thinking. I just don't think that's a very professional, and I personally would never work with them. I wouldn't book them. I wouldn't trust them.
I know Promo West owns Bunbury now, but do you still have a hand in?
Well, I'm a minority owner.
You are, okay.
And I still do front of house ops.
And it's coming up at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. May 31st through June 2nd. So I'm still involved in it, but a much smaller capacity than I was before.
What's your favorite act that's ever come through there?
Boy, that's a tough one. There are some shows that were kind of magical. And the thing that just jumped into my head, although it was at Buckle Up, was Willie Nelson's show. Because the week before was Bunbury that year, and you had Fall Out Boy and Paramore with tons of pyrotechnics, and even the Flaming Lips with their huge show. And then Willie Nelson rolls out on stage with, you know, five other kind of people getting along in their years, no production, a U.S. flag in the background, and just owns the crowd.
People loved it, yeah.
You know, for that. And you look at something like that and you're like, wow, that's so pure. You know, and how do you argue with someone who can captivate an audience like that? But then you catch a show like 21 Pilots before anyone really knew who they were, and he climbs up the onto the roof of the stage.
Oh my gosh.
I'm having heart palpitations because I'm like, if he falls, it's not
that
good
wasn't
for
in the
anyone.
Contract if you in the insurance policy.
Or even like Foxy Shazam just blowing away the river stage, you know, in 2014. You know, some of those shows are really exciting too, but there's something about that Willie Nelson show.
Some other exciting things you have coming up. This weekend you have PIVIP.
Yes.
I'm saying that
no,
wrong.
No, you're saying it right.
Did I say
PIVIP.
It right?
PIVIP, I took the acronym PVP for player versus player and turned it into a palindrome. You can spell it the same way.
This is the first annual And it's a video gaming festival.
Esports tournament and video game conference. Yeah.
And where's it at? And what's...
It's at Kings Island. And it's this Saturday. And we have everything from Markiplier, who's a huge YouTube star, has over 23 million YouTube followers. He's doing a keynote and a meet and greet. But we also have... We've been doing tournaments leading up to this event. And so the finals for Fortnite and Super Smash Brothers and Overwatch and League of Legends is taking place. And we even, one of our final teams is from Canada. So this is really an international, you know, esports tournament. And that will actually be in the Fest House. And we have other things that are happening, like the meet and greet. Like, if you've ever been to a video game conference, people will line up for days to meet these people.
Jason nor I have not been to a video game conference, although we both have little boys.
No,
we're probably headed that way. All those things
I
know are going on in my basement.
But that's the reason I did this in such a public space, where people who come to the event, who just come to Kings Island, will see the event and they'll realize that this isn't that far away from the things that they already do and love. We are all playing video games on our iPad or phone at home on our console, whatever it might be. So it's really not that far of a stretch to embrace the whole culture behind it. And it's a lot of fun. It's fascinating.
How many, is that a 3-day event?
This year, it's just the Saturday. It's the long-term goal is, instead of doing so many qualifiers ahead of time, they would happen in the park. It would be over multiple days, and we would do it in multiple Cedar Fair parks. So it could go to Carowinds and then King's Dominion and King's Island and Cedar Fair or Cedar Point and then Canada's Wonderland and become this kind of summer-long, almost like a Vans Warped Tour for video games and esports, if you will.
One other thing you got coming up, this will be the first time for it as well. And you're always, your mind's always churning. You're always working. It's creative and you're always creating new events and... one of the new things that you've created now is coming up is the Kentucky's Edge Bourbon Festival. And that's also going to be coincided with another new event here in Cincinnati as well, right? Can you talk about...
Yeah. Kevin Canifax, who's a partner with me on this project, it started years ago when we launched the Brandemonium conference. You got to bear with me here. And that's because branding is something we should... kind of recognize we're a branding hub, a branding capital.
Yep.
And so we wanted to create an event that would kind of solidify that and make that statement. And we always talk about being the branding capital of the world. But that was part of just a 1-2 punch. You know, we wanted to do something across the river as well. And bourbon was the obvious choice. And there's so much momentum around bourbon, and Northern Kentucky has been working on their B line and all these distilleries are coming online. And it was like, let's create an event. But we pictured it as a South by Southwest for bourbon. I mean, that's exactly what it will be. There will be free activations in some of those hot spots all over Covington and Newport, like Main Strass and Roebling Point and things like that. But it's the venues, it's the bars and the restaurants that are creating all these pairings and tastings. And we're the marketing and ticketing arm for the event. And then to finish out that compliment, you know, Cincinnati has a huge beer history, and currently the craft beer industry here is awesome. So we're running that at the same time as Brandemonium, kind of pairing the branding and the beer together to give something to the conference goers and to really continue to highlight the city. And then we roll into bourbon over in Northern Kentucky. And with some of the Brandemonium events starting as early as Monday now, and Kentucky's Edge events could start on Thursday and go into Sunday, we're talking about a great week to kind of celebrate our region and what we do best, branding, beer, and bourbon.
This is all right at all the first week and first weekend of October.
Yeah. Right? So you're really looking at October 1st through the 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there still tickets left?
Oh, yeah. I mean, tomorrow we'll actually launch the full site for Kentucky's Edge and start selling the ticket packages. We still have some artists to announce and speakers to announce at the conference, which will be coming in the next few weeks. The Brewmania calendar is out, and there's a great free concert on Fountain Square that Wednesday night, that first Wednesday, October 2nd, with Roger Klein and the Peacemakers and the Bottle Rockets and 500 Miles to Memphis. And then, of course, we'll be announcing Brandemonium speakers and panelists in about 2 weeks. So You know, the first week of October is going to be Monster, and that's the thing. We want people to just come and soak it up. You know, here in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky that first week.
Well, think about Oktoberfest and Blink.
Yeah,
it's going to be quite a fall.
Yeah, we're bookended. We're in the middle of that those two bookends.
Well, I love the fact that you guys are bringing, or you've, and I know Kevin is a Northern Kentucky resident and a business leader in Northern Kentucky and a great guy. I love the fact you guys are incorporating and you're bringing an event to Northern Kentucky. And I read the piece that when you guys launched or announced the event was coming, and Kevin talked about how he's hoping that this event really helps Northern Kentucky or the rest of the state kind of see Northern Kentucky as them, because Northern Kentucky is on such an island by itself. Yeah. Like the rest of the state sees us as part of Cincinnati, and Cincinnati sees it as part of Kentucky. And so I think this is going to be a great event for.
The joke is we're trying to put a little more Kentucky into Northern Kentucky, Northern Kentucky is kind of like the redheaded stepchild, right?
Yeah.
But I think over time they've shown some resilience and some creativity, and it's only good for all of us. See, I didn't grow up here. I moved here in 79 and I lived in Anderson. Mm-hmm. So I was always coming through Northern Kentucky, or when I was playing, when I was a musician, I was playing at York Street Cafe and I was playing at the Southgate House. So I didn't really see that river as a separation. That was all kind of home to me.
Yeah.
And I really think that, like I said earlier, I think we have to look, Cincinnati, Newport and Covington have to look at each other like a sibling rivalry. We've got to kind of show love for one another, right? Don't talk smack about my brother, my sister. We have to pull together in that. But being a little competitive and trying to find some unique way to shine, like siblings often do, will only make us better. So that's, I think, hopefully Cincinnati, after this, you know, music venue fiasco, gets their stuff together. Maybe we could finally get a unigovernment, you know, consolidate the city with the city with the county, and kind of put in a true mayor as CEO, and let's get a smaller council that's a board of directors who can kind of get the red tape out of the way and really move faster would be great for Cincinnati.
Second time I've heard that today.
Yeah.
What time is it?
I'd love to see that too. And I what? The skeptic in me says it's wishful thinking, and I'm right along with you on that, Bill.
It's going to take a really powerful individual who gets elected, probably not a politician, to mayor, and rams that agenda through a popular vote, you know, down the throat of everyone. That's the only way it's going to get done. I don't know of anyone in greater Cincinnati to do it, but if you're out there, we need you.
Anything else, Sherry?
What would it take if we're going to use this sibling analogy and the idea that Ovation is getting this concert venue? What does the Banks need to shine itself? What's the thing then that's, if it's not a music venue, what is it that makes it super special?
That is such a difficult question to answer, because since the announcement, I've kind of been sitting back and saying, what do we do? You know, what is it that goes in that space that keeps it active and vibrant all year long? Because it's not going to be like a movie place or a shopping center or bowling alley, you know, and I don't know what the answer is. And that's what's kind of the bummer here. I think the only other thing that you could possibly do is look at all that and say, can we put in a lot more, you know, living space? So you have so many residents that it really helps support all those venues and some more hotels and things like that. But It's a shame. I don't know what the answer is, because I'm even looking around at other cities, and you know, maybe it's in an esports arena.
They snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks so much. This was great. Thanks for the insight, and thanks for just all the wonderful, cool things you brought to this town and this region over what? I mean, you started Bunbury when?
Well, actually, Midpoint goes back to 2002.
Yeah, right. I knew this is.
And Bunbury was 2012.
Two decades, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Bill.
Thanks for the kind words. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Bill for coming in. Wow, that was great insight, great historical context. I feel like we were jumping around there a little bit. Bill has got his hand in so many different things, but I knew he would offer great behind-the-scenes insight on this concert venue, and just really appreciate him coming in. It's interesting. He's always trying to come up with something new, and here it comes this weekend at Kings Island. He's got the Pivip with a P on the end, video gaming festival and esports festival at Kings Island. And I think that's going to just add another new thing to Cincinnati and greater Cincinnati. And speaking of Kings Island, does that provide us with our
So Cincinnati
moment of the week?
It does for the Coolidges.
What do we got, Sherry? We're putting you on the spot right out of the gate here. Your first full episode as a full-time co-host of TSC. We're putting you on the spot and making you give us your So Cincinnati moment of the week.
So I have to say, I think one of my proudest moments as a mother is turning my son into a roller coaster lover. And because I've been out of town, we have not been to Kings Island yet, but I promised him we'd go on Saturday. And so I feel like this is a very Cincinnati thing. We took our gold passes and we went to Kings Island just to ride the Diamondback.
Just to ride the Diamondback.
Biggest roller coaster, biggest hill. And that's what he wanted to do. And I was like, that's what I want to do.
One time.
One was kind of a long line.
You guys went there, parked, went in, swiped your passes, went straight to Diamondback line, rode it, turned around, walked out, drove home.
Don't forget we live in Delhi. Yes.
Right. Right. So how long were you at Kings Island then? How long was the line?
Oh, the line was like an hour and a half at least.
Okay.
It was, but you know what? We don't care because we think it's worth it.
Did you get a snack? Did you get the blue ice cream or anything?
No, we offered. Oh, we had Graters on the way out, actually. Graters, black raspberry chip for my son, more classic flavors for me.
So Cincinnati right there.
First car, you got to wait in the extra line.
Oh, first car.
Yeah.
So Cincinnati, Graters on the way, ride the Diamondback one time, leave.
So Cincinnati.
All you had to do was add to the end of that and say, you just wanted to leave early so you could beat traffic.
You're never going to hear me say that. I'm like die hard, stay till the end of everything.
Well, anything else, Sherry? Got anything else for us? Any other So Cincinnati things? No,
but I have to say, I feel like this was a very great first episode. I'm so excited to be doing this. We're going to have some good conversations, I think.
Yeah, we mentioned the streetcar a lot on this show.
What streetcar?
We mentioned Burl.
You know, this time next week, the streetcar budget will be out.
I'm just sitting here mentioning the keywords that prompt Phil to hit the ones and twos. What else you got? Anything new for us, Phil? Ooh, nice.
We need a good joke for that one.
Or a bad one, Jason. You know what? We're not really joke tellers. We're more like throw shade at each other and tease each other, I feel like.
Yeah, we are. Anyway. Let's wrap this puppy up. Don't forget to subscribe, listen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, pretty much every podcast platform. We're on it. We're also posting on Cincinnati.com on Wednesday mornings. You can find in Sherry's Coolidge and in my columns the embedded audio boom link to our podcast. It's free. You guys are great. We love it. I also want to ask for you to get back to, we haven't asked you this for a while, but love to hear from you. Love to get emails. jwilliams@inquirer.com, scoolidge@inquirer.com. Let us know. Give us your feedback on the show. Give us your So Cincinnati moments of the week. We'd love to get away from ourselves every once in a while, sharing our moments and share your moments. About what's going on around Cincinnati.
I feel like you were remiss not to ask that some of Grandma's homemade getta be delivered to the newsroom. You would be so popular if that happened. You know how much we all love food. It did sound delicious.
Yes, that was our when we took the TSC on the road. If you didn't hear that episode, that was our episode last week when we went on the road to Where'd we go?
Oh, the banks.
Went to the banks.
For the Flying Pig.
For the 50 West Mile. And ask people in the park what their Cincinnati moments or favorite Cincinnati things are. And we had, I believe her name was Hannah, came up and shared that Grandma's Geta was her favorite Cincinnati-centric thing. And you really can't top that. Anyway, also want to say subscribe to Cincinnati.com. We're running a great deal right now, 99 cents a month for the first 3 months. Subscriptions, all access subscription to our mobile, desktop, all of our digital platforms. You get all of our sports coverage, all of our political coverage. Pretty good deal, 99 cents a month. And so we'd love to have you go do that. Anything else, Phil? You got anything for us? No more noises, no more buttons. Thanks to Phil, as always, our executive producer. He's the man. And we'll chat with you next week.